Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. And just getting back from a little vacation I took, I actually had to go to Florida. A buddy of mine sent me tickets to Florida State for free. It was kind of nice. The only thing I had to do was just videotape their coaches on the sideline. But it was really nice seats, dude. I was like down on the 50-yard line, so it worked out pretty cool. He said he needed it for some type of research or something that they were doing for later in the year in case they had to play Florida State. So worked out pretty well. Nothing nefarious at all about it. It's pretty common to have someone just watch your signals and stuff on the sideline. So there definitely wouldn't be a story there if anyone looked into it. But I will say I'm a little tired getting back from a long trip in Florida. It's getting freezing cold in North Carolina at night for some reason, and I feel like that hasn't happened in October lately. So, like, it's like 40-something degrees. But it's good to be back, and I know we had to pre-record the show. I don't even remember when the Michigan story actually broke, if it was around the time, but apparently, joking aside, the I don't know if it's an analytics assistant or someone that is on the Michigan staff is accused by, this is based on changing reports, but I tried to gather as much information as I could before the show, and it looks like there are two teams that formally complained to the Big Ten. One of them, to me, they hasn't been released. But one of them is clearly Ohio State. And I've seen a lot of Ohio State people try to debunk it. But I'm going to put the facts out here. An Ohio State site last week was the first one to have the breaking story that there was going to be an NCAA investigation. The images that were sent out with the NCAA, which again, the NCAA is not supposed to comment on ongoing cases. So it's like a weird, unprecedented thing that's been happening with Harbaugh investigations.
Well, and you know, that's typical, because why would they do anything in any type of consistent manner?
So they released some photos and videos, or whatever. At least it was photos. I don't know if the videos are actually from them. But two of the three photos were of the staffer on the sideline during an Ohio State game. So, like, if two, there's one thing might be a coincidence that the Buckeyes learned about it first. Two things, like, including their things. And then a lot of the other Big Ten coaches are speaking out against it. And I didn't see Ryan Day say anything. And their DC, Jim Knowles, he said that the higher ups instructed him not to make a comment. Which to me is kind of weird. Because like James Franklin's out there talking about it. Matt Roll, Greg Schiano wanted to know why he was drug into it. And a lot of former players seem to think that it's no big deal. Apparently, according to NCAA bylaws, it's not even against the rules to try to steal signals. So you can hire a guy on your staff to sit there and call out plays. Because in the story, one of the coaches said that they came across the field and said, "I know what you're up to, man, and it ain't right." Which it's almost like written, like Ohio State staffers just wrote the story and were like, "Hey, here's what our guys think on it. We think it's a really shady thing for them to be doing." And then a lot of the other coaches are like, everyone does it, though. I mean, in fact, if you go back, Urban Meyer, when he was at Ohio State, said that he had a guy that his entire job was to follow Michigan around. And I know Michigan made some changes to, like, practice because they had to close off one of the roads because they thought people were up there watching practice. And another thing that came up, we had talked about this before. Last year, in fact. Ryan Day brought up, and Ohio State brought up that Michigan they think that Michigan's stealing their signs and that they changed their signs for the game last year. They said something was up in 2021. They knew it was coming, so we changed up our signs last year. Did it work? No. They got beat worse last year. So they're losing by like 20-something points. It almost feels like they feel the pressure and the timing of this release. Because like I said, the photos, Michigan didn't play Ohio State this year. Right? And for those that haven't listened to the show before, they know that I'm a Michigan alum. But all the photos are from 2021 or 2022. So they've been pushing this allegation for 2 years now. Urban Meyer said they had a guy, like I said, follow Michigan around. No big deal. Everyone just kind of shook their head. Coaches around the country have been voting against getting rid of the rule. Because they don't want to have to change the technology and stuff. Because there's been some groups within in the NCAA that want to push for like helmet communication and more NFL-style things because high schools use it. Right? You're recruiting a guy that comes in. They're able to use technology on the sideline. NCAA doesn't allow it. It's the only league that doesn't. Why? Because schools don't want to pay for it. The rule is from 1994, I think they said. I think it was Colin Cowherd brought out like the actual rule. It came from 1994 because schools like Ohio State and Michigan were both sending scouts to every game. And smaller schools said that they couldn't afford it. So the NCAA stepped in and said, we're going to put in this rule that says you can't go to other teams' games. That's it. If you're on staff, you can't go to other teams' games. The issue here this year is that Michigan staffer, he's not going to other teams' games. The allegation is that he's buying tickets and sending them, and this is from the report, to a vast network of spies or something. I don't know what the hell they called it. But it was like a vast network of people working as code breakers for, I guess, Michigan. Right?
I mean, on one hand, though, it does make a little bit sense that they were always in that that struggling area of, like, not quite getting over the hump, and now they're not just getting over the hump, but they're blowing the doors off people. Then it kind of makes you think a little bit, like, is there a little bit of fire to all this smoke that's going on? You're an idiot not to think that there isn't a little bit of something going on there.
Well, I'll say this. If you're thinking about it, and apparently they knew about it, why aren't you changing your signals? Like, the crude image that's been floating around looks almost like a Photoshop, but the signals are like, it's a strong call, so the guy's flexing on the sideline. Like, it's not groundbreaking stuff, Matt. It's like a third grader could decode their signals.
But I think it gives a bad look is it's one thing that it's in game, and if you're blatantly doing like the flexed arm and you pick that up on the sideline, more power to you. Because in the 13 national championship game, Damian Craig was on Auburn staff and he knew Jimbo Fisher's signals for Florida State. And they were like, hey, he's stealing our signals. He knows the plays. And so they put the big tarps up in the second half and they shut it down. Like, it was a problem-solved scenario.
Well, see, that's my next thought. Because if they knew this was going on for 2 years, they were warning other teams, why not change your signals? Well, someone said that they couldn't change your signals because it would have taken too much time, but you just gave a scenario that was also confirmed as fact, and they were able to do it in the middle of a game. So, if you're really worried about it, just huddle up. Because like now, it almost makes me think that if Harbaugh did have something to do with it, ever since he's been at Michigan, he's always found like the one gray area rule, like satellite camps, where there's not a rule, and he takes it and runs with it, right? You're allowed to steal signals. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to hire this military guy. But the thing is, he didn't bring him in. This guy's been volunteering with Michigan since, like, at least through the Brady Hoke years. I don't know how long back he went, but some of the former Michigan guys said that, yeah, he was around the team back then, didn't really do much, but he was kind of like a super fan, just volunteering to help with like day-to-day operations, which makes me think that maybe he's gotten a couple buddies together and they're trying to like put together some type of scouting service that they can sell. Because it's hard to break through in the coaching ranks if you don't have a name, you're not a former player. And I don't know how old the guy even is, but he looks kind of young on the sideline, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of coaches are like kind of older, like they put in their time. So starting as a volunteer, putting in your time, finally making it as an analytics guy, because we talk about it every week. How many coaches need an analytics guy because they don't know how to work the clock? Every team needs that. We see it every week. So like just being there and maybe providing some type of service makes me think that if it's proven that he's just kind of doing it on the side, he'll probably just get fired, right? And it depends on the rule. Because if they don't ever change the rule, there's nothing that says he can't just get hired by another team next year. The one case going back, surprisingly, is like from 2016, was the Wake Forest issue. They had a radio guy that was stealing information or whatever from Wake Forest. He was a former player. Sent it to Louisville and Virginia Tech. They used it, I guess, because they both got fined $25,000. That was it. They didn't have to like give up their wins or whatever. I think there was another one from Baylor that was kind of similar. And they found that it was kind of just like an assistant coach doing some type of tampering. And the coach was suspended for like 2 games or something. Not even made to be fired. Because it's not like against the rules, but it's kind of like unethical, right? If you're out there doing filming, because like he's not the one doing the filming. Now, if he's forwarding all these videos to Jim Harbaugh directly, then yeah, I mean, that's going to be evidence itself. But Jim came out and said that like he had no knowledge of it, which makes me think like you wouldn't say that if you didn't have proof that you weren't involved. They already turned over the laptops. I almost wonder if it was connected to the coach that Michigan had to fire last year. He was like a co-offensive coordinator. And it was around December he was like fired or whatever. They took his laptop. I looked into it last week because I sent Matt the info and I was like, seems like this is going to be connected to this guy. And they finally like got around to doing the laptop stuff. And there might have been some, they might have found one connection to this other analytics guy. And so if it's like an isolated thing between those two, that guy's already been fired. And if they don't have any other connections, I really don't think they would even vacate wins. I think they would probably just get a show cause on those two guys, right? There's nothing really, unless you can prove lack of like institutional control where like Harbaugh was paying for these tickets himself or something. I don't know, but it's a weird area. Because like if you read reports on it, it really depends on who you read. A lot of former players are coming out saying that every team does it. There's like no big deal. And then others are saying like there's been a couple, like was it The Athletic? The Athletic's been leaning really hard into it. And to me, that's a paid newspaper. I'm wondering if they're just kind of trying to get clicks. Because Harbaugh drives clicks, let's be honest. Harbaugh call him Pete? Messes me up every time, like as a dig. A guy that hates Harbaugh said that it's no big deal and the NCAA is probably just going to let it go because what are they going to do? If every team's doing it and you can say like, hey, here's this guy buying tickets. Oh, are you able to track tickets purchased by every assistant? Because like all you have to do is find one other team that's doing it, and then it's going to be just like the basketball thing, which kind of just went away, right? Kansas got off scot-free, illegally paying players. I know you can pay for them now, but the one thing that like as a fan, I still think that it's dumb that they don't have helmet mics. And I found out recently, due to this investigation, that the only reason they don't is because schools don't want to pay for it, Matt. That's it. They voted against it. The NCAA tried to bring it in like a year ago. So the same schools that are complaining, and the Big Ten said that Michigan State considered for 24 hours not playing the game last week because of player safety, of course, not because their coach got fired and every player is quitting on them and they might not even had a team. They tried to like tie it into the Michigan thing. The media called them out on it, and then immediately the game was on, right? You're not going to not play and look like cowards. Because then if this turns into nothing, like an isolated case, and they can prove it, then what, Michigan State just canceled the game? I mean, the game wasn't competitive at all. It wasn't like, and Michigan didn't even run the score up. They had the starters out by like the third quarter after that one dude got ejected for trying to break our guy's neck on the ground, which is like insane. Although we did see a double bird in that game. I haven't seen that since Ohio State did it in our stadium a few years back. I was at that one. Where they caught it on TV. He came out and did the double birds. I don't even think he was injected. But the stadium was empty when they showed it, so a lot of people didn't get to see that unless you're watching at home. And most people probably weren't at that point, because I think it was like late in the game where he did the double bird to the crowd. Classic. But I don't know. You're a coach. What do you think on it?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if it was going on, and to use that type of knowledge to try to leverage for a better position, a better paying position. I mean, if you're providing something that somebody wants, I mean, there's always going to be a need for it. But you know, at what point do you worry? Because I feel like the rules were changed relatively recently because of some of these prior like allegations that they had with Harbaugh, where it was like it was easy for a coach to deny, be like, no, I didn't pay for that guy. I have no idea what's going on. And they kind of treated it like if anything happens, the head coach can be one of the people held liable for it because it's happening under his watch. He should be knowing what's going on within the program. And I just think like they've been looking for reasons to just stir drama with Harbaugh. And it's like they have something that could have a little bit of teeth to it. Now, I don't think that the NCAA is going to follow through with it just because I just don't trust them to follow through with any type of merit. You know, I've seen where if it's a school that has nothing to lose, they'll throw the book at them. Or if you self-report it yourself and say, oh, yeah, we did this, they hammer you. But to force their hand, I don't think the NCAA will push an issue on anything because they don't want the backlash.
Well, see, that's where it really is starting to feel like it is a Harbaugh persecution. Because you're getting a lot of the media guys that like hate Harbaugh, like Feinbaum, they're coming to his defense now because the NCAA, I mean, they can't defend it. The cheeseburger thing, like you said, was a self-report. How would they have even got those receipts? There's some rumors that maybe like a past assistant kind of tipped them off, but it's such a minor infraction that like, hey, yeah, here are their receipts. And they were trying to get him to like take a penalty, and he didn't do it, and now they're like kind of after him. Like they wanted him to come out and be like, oh yeah, woe is me. I shouldn't have did that. We'll go ahead and do like some type of recruiting. Because I wonder if he had just did, oh, we're going to do a recruiting sanction where we're going to take like 2 weeks off vacation and like send his staff home, that maybe that wouldn't have been such a big deal. But now it's like, oh, he fought back. We got to get him on this other thing. And if he's not really connected, it's almost like I'm getting the feeling that they're going to let the season run. And it, like, let's say Michigan wins it all. I have a feeling they Pete Carroll him or Chip Kelly him, right? where he just gets pushed to the NFL, the charges get dropped, no wins are going to get vacated or anything, and that's going to be it, and they're going to say, problem solved, we got rid of him. Now, we don't have to worry about him, like, upstaging or whatever, because, to your point, you said, like, Michigan's winning streaks have come out of nowhere. It's really been due to the transfer portal. Because in the past, Harbaugh's team has been putting so many guys in the NFL that it hasn't really been able to keep up. They haven't had the depth. COVID, they took the knocks on the chin. Like, that was a very bad year. But that allowed them to get caught up with people not going pro from that year early. So then you had it kind of push the program back and to where now you have an Aiden Hutchinson come back and he has a Heisman year as a DN. And then you bring in an All-American center from Virginia that transfers in. And the offensive line becomes the best offensive line in the country. So it was almost like a perfect storm. And then last year, you just built on that. A couple of the D-line guys were older. They went pro, but it didn't matter because Michigan's been rotating in 8 guys on defensive line. No other school does that besides like Georgia and Bama. I don't even think Ohio State really does that. Because a lot of the high guys they bring in are more like, hey, we have 32 wide receivers, guys. And it's like, yeah, your defense, though, looks kind of suspect. And it's like, ah, that's okay. We'll outscore them. And this year, they're just not outscoring teams. And they're playing tight. Where Michigan, on the other hand, they're rotating offensive linemen. They brought in a starter from Arizona State, a guy from Stanford. And now they're rotating him. They have the depth that Michigan just hasn't had. And so it feels like this year could be the year. I think there's going to be a gigantic drop off. I guess it really depends on what JJ does. Because JJ's looked really good. He's leading the Heisman now. I don't know if you saw that because Penix played very poorly against Arizona State. Yeah. So now JJ's the favorite. Matt, I think they said he has 4 snaps all year in the fourth quarter. Insane. Because they've been burying teams. I think the closest game was like 24 points or something. And that was one of the early years where, or early games where he played like the first 2 quarters and then sat it out. And they just rode it to like a 30-10 victory or whatever it was. So I think it was 31-7. That would have been the closest game. And it might have been the Bowling Green team that beat Georgia Tech, if I'm remembering correctly. So Harbaugh could see this. Everybody comes back from last year's team that had already won the Big Ten, had a couple of mistakes in the playoff game to lose it in heartbreaking fashion. Everyone decides we're coming back, including, I mean, Blake Corum was a Heisman running back until he got hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, he might have won the Heisman last year. Because USC didn't even win their conference championship game. And typically those play into it. It almost seemed like Caleb Williams just got it, right? Because he was like kind of hurt in that game. But there was like no other candidate to give it to. It wasn't Stroud. He didn't play that weekend. So it was almost like they handed it to him. And this year he's already out. Which, did you see that insane report coming out where people are pushing him to just sit the rest of the season out?
Well, yeah, he doesn't have anything else to play for.
Well, he played so bad last week that if you're an NFL guy, it seems like maybe he doesn't have it this year. He sits out the entire year. I don't know if you can pull the trigger on him. Because, like, you're playing to show that you can play. The bowl game I get, because the bowl game is meaningless. It's all corporate sponsored. It's all BS. They shouldn't exist at all. I've said that the playoffs should have nothing to do with bowl games. I don't care about the history. Just call it the honorary Orange Bowl or whatever and play it at whoever the highest seed is. If it's Michigan, you're playing the Orange Bowl at Michigan Stadium. No young kid is going to remember that, oh yeah, remember the Orange Bowl? They don't even play it at the Orange Bowl anymore. It's whatever stadium, Sun Rock Stadium or something, right? So like the stadium, it doesn't even exist. So they can just call it whatever they want. Or like the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. What if Tostitos goes out of business? Then what? Oh, we lose that legacy.
They won't go out of business.
So, I don't know. I feel like the NCAA, they don't like the transferring. So that's a check against Harbaugh. Because they're like, I think Michigan's been number 2 in the transfer portal both years. Since that's been a thing. Or like every year since it's been a thing. At least in the top 2. So it's like they're not even going anywhere close to the bottom, because if you're a grad student transferring, Michigan's a great school to go to grad school at. So of course Michigan's going to benefit from transfers, right? It would be insane to think that they weren't going to. It's almost like people going to Stanford. It's like, oh, you're going to transfer there? Like, yeah, it's a great school. I probably would transfer there. I don't know why David Shaw's not taking advantage of it. But I don't know what else the NCAA is going to do, because, like, that cat's out of the bag. Harbaugh's been pushing for players to get paid. And if I were him, I would come out and say, look, you guys can even the playing field right now by requiring, or they don't even have to require it. All they have to say is that technology on the sidelines is available to use. And I guarantee the very next week, every team has headsets and every team has tablets on the sidelines. Because if high schools can pay for them, no team is going to be left behind. If you're playing in the Big Ten, you're going to have them. You're not going to be at that disadvantage of holding up poster boards that it looks like someone's mom made for Science Fair Day and using that to call your plays, because that's just insane too, right? That's what they're using. And they're like, oh, that's just the charm of college football. Like, no. They should be able to get whatever film they want. The Big Ten should just have a vault where the Big Ten collects all practice footage or whatever. Because it's crazy that I think it was Michigan State. They said that they received tape from Ohio State a few years ago that had cut out all of the pre-motions, all the pre-motions or pre-snap motion. So, like, it's funny that they're throwing the stones when they have a history of scouting Michigan, cutting out pre-motion stuff before sending the tape. Someone physically had to go through all of their tape and cut out all the pre-motion and then send it to D'Antonio, because I think he was the coach at the time. And of course, it's going to be easy for him to notice, right? Like, that's very odd that they're not doing any shifts ever when I've seen their games, and they do, right? Because he can watch the games on TV. There's no rule against that. And they show all the stuff. He could just film it. Some games have, like, the All-22 stuff, but I think that's mainly NFL. Or some of, like, the lower level have, like, weird cameras that are super zoomed out. Because I've seen them on, like, the ESPN, like, 3. You're going through the games, and you're like, whoa, what stadium is this? They're like, in the light tower filming this thing. I can barely see what's going on. So, if the NCAA wants to fix it, they could. Because, like, they're also allowing Texas to pay $250,000 to just get a recruit on campus. So if they're worried about teams not being able to afford mics and helmets or trips to watch other games, just collect the film. They just don't want to do it. It's like the lazy way of, oh, this is how it's always been done. Let's keep the sport being worse. And, like, let's reward. Because someone said, like, the same exact teams that are doing good right now are the same exact teams that were doing good in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s. So it's not going to matter if you let teams all have headsets or not. The only thing that is going to help is those smaller teams that don't have a lot of the same depth. And in fact, if you're able to coach up a quarterback to read the defense a little bit, as a smaller school, you might be able to steal some wins. But it's hard to coach them up whenever you have to signal in or call plays from the sideline. So that's the thing. Last year, Michigan did have some close games with, like, Illinois and stuff too. So this year is the year that, just because everybody came back and they're all, like, 24 years old, it's like the BYU teams of old. It's like, hey, everybody came back. Why did you come back? Because they wanted to try to win a national championship. And if they win it, that'll be awesome. Like, go for it. Ohio State calling out Georgia and Michigan and then Clemson back in the day when Venables was there about stealing signals. It just seems like sour grapes. So that every team you lose to, you're complaining about? Do you want them to just let you win? Because since Day's taken over, he's took a shots at every team he's lost to. He hasn't lost to another Big Ten team in 5 years.
Well, he learned from Urban, so.
He only lost to Michigan, complained about him, filed his report. Lost to Clemson, filed that report. right? They filed the report, and then ESPN actually defended Clemson, saying that stealing signals were legal. And then I went back and I found like at least 10 to 20 articles about it. The Georgia practice camera thing, I don't know if that ever went like really big time, but that was clearly a thing where they thought that their practice facility was bugged last year before the Georgia playoff game. And that was right after he complained about Michigan stealing the signals too. So he must have really been vulnerable, right? But it didn't. Georgia obviously didn't have practice film footage. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been such a close game. And I don't know what else to say. So, on one hand, people could say like, oh, Michigan cheats. Don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. Am I going to not watch the next game? If the next game comes out and they're playing Purdue and it's close, I'm not going to be like, oh, that proves it. I'm going to probably think, yeah, they probably were practicing for Penn State all week, right? Playing Purdue at home at night. Could be a tight game. Maybe it's not. Maybe the same thing they've been doing just happens and they're just focused on killing everybody now because everyone seems to be taking shots at them. And maybe the team will just get so focused that they'll be one of the best teams of all time because everyone's just talking trash and Harbaugh will Pete Carroll it to the NFL. That'll be his true punishment, Matt, coaching the Bears next year.
that would be a hard sell, especially with knowing that your Bears QB is going to be either Fields or the number one overall, Caleb Williams.
Unless he comes up and takes JJ with him. That would be funny. Although I'm secretly hoping that JJ comes back, even if it is a new coach.
And then I'd like to see him just come out and just start doing press conferences like Dion. Be like, no, I'm bringing my own players to the Bears.
Well, that's like the old, didn't Spurrier do that? He only signed Gators.
That was a monumental fail.
Well, see, he couldn't do that with the Michigan guys. We really don't have that many skill guys floating around. Only in the trenches, baby. He could probably win with the Michigan trenches. Although, like, I don't think the Lions are going to give up Hutchinson. Rashawn Gary's been too pretty good with the Packers. But he's had, like, studs. That's the one thing I think this team is missing right now is the Jabril Peppers. Michigan just doesn't have like an absolute stud on the team right now where you could say, well, we're going to turn it over to that guy. Honestly, I don't even think that any team has that. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been good. But like, he's not like game breaking where he's like jumping and like being like a Braylon Edwards or someone where he's just stealing balls. Right. Or even Plexico Burris back in the day. He just seems to be like Penn State just not double covering him. Or even they let him run it like a dig for the game, like the game sealing touchdown last weekend. And it's like, how do you lose him late in the game? What are you guys doing? That's another James Franklin thing. James Franklin went into this one very long story about how he had a 4th-and-1 call dialed in where he brought out a heavy package and he wanted to take a deep shot. But the team he was playing against, he kind of hinted that it was Michigan. I didn't look at to see if I could find the play. But they came out in a cover too, and they had to take the deep shot, and of course it didn't work. And I was thinking, like, why didn't you just change the play? Because, like, I see teams come out. Sometimes Michigan comes out. They go to the line of scrimmage. They see what the defense is in. And then they look to the sideline. Coach changes the play, obviously. And then they run the new play. Or it's a decoy change and they run the same play they were going to run the first time, depending if the defense shifts or not. So you have two options at least. If you don't give your quarterback two options, then that's bad coaching. And that I think that bad in-game coaching pretty much describes James Franklin's career, right? Because someone said that this game last week against Ohio State reminded them of when James Franklin lost to Brady Hoke. I was at that game, and the entire game, the score was similar. It was like 18-13 or something. And Penn State scored late and tried to get an onside kick. So it was almost the exact same as the game this past weekend. Because didn't they try to kick an onside kick after going for two or something? With one of the stupidest two-point conversion play calls where he ran like a reverse pass or something. Someone else did it at the same time, too. So I can't remember. What game was that? I don't remember what game was on the same time. It might have been Oklahoma and Who did they play? UCF. Yeah, it was Malzahn's team. They ran that stupid double pass for their two-point conversion to lose the game. And then James Franklin did like the same thing. So maybe he was stealing signals from Gus Malzahn. I don't know. But I will say that stupid. The entire game I watched that Brady Hoke game, Brady Hoke was so bad that year that like every game he went to was just, I chalked it up as a loss. And somehow we beat Penn State that year. I'm pretty sure I watched us lose to Nebraska, Minnesota, Ohio State, maybe, if that was the year. Oh, that might have been the two-point conversion year where it was like, he could save it if he goes for two. But they beat Penn State, and it was like, this is ridiculous. What's wrong with you guys? That's when Michigan was perfect in night games until the he has trouble with the snap game. That was it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Even your boy Dion said the stealing signals doesn't matter. He said that even if he gave his game plan to the other team, they still have to stop his offense or whatever.
All this game. Like talk of stealing signs just reminds me of how simple Mike Leach's play calls were and how much he just allowed the quarterback to check the play at the line. So even if they thought that they knew what the call was, the quarterback just had the freedom to check into something that they liked better. So just eliminated the problem altogether.
Well, that's what Matt Rhule said. He said it could be solved by coaching the quarterback up. But no one wants to admit that. Because if you give them multiple options, like in the NFL, he said he would always try to give three play calls, and then it would be up to the quarterback to execute. And if the quarterback couldn't do it, then it's on him as a coach, not getting them ready for it, right? And in college, that's what a lot of things, it kind of makes me think, like, when I hear these anonymous coaching quotes, it's almost like they're calling their players super dumb. Because they're like, no way we can give them multiple calls. They barely get their first play right. Like, can we switch signs? No, we have to practice them all year. We can never switch them. Like, our guys are really dumb. Like, you don't know them. I'm like, that's how I'm reading it in a voice like that. Like, no way we can change calls. Are you serious? Our guys can't even run the right route. No wonder Michigan knows exactly what we're doing. And if that's the thing, because we'll see Michigan's three toughest games to end the year. Although, like I said, Ohio State knew that or changed the signs last year and prepared for it the entire year. And it still didn't work. Because at some point, you have to, like, it was third down or whatever at the end of the game. And they did that pass blitz. And Edwards took it all the way for a touchdown. He ran like an 80-yard touchdown. And I remember watching that play. And I thought the entire time, Ohio State's DC is so stupid. Because I can sit at home saying, Harbaugh's playing it safe here, he's running the ball. Right? I've watched enough Harbaugh games that I know that if the game's tight at the end of the game, he's going to run the ball and play defense. And Ohio State's defensive coordinator said, they're going to pass it here. I'm going to do a pass blitz and have and zero protection. Right? We're going to play man-to-man and try to sack him. And our guy just runs right down the field for a touchdown. And not only did he do it once, he did it twice. It's like, what are you doing, buddy? I mean, Michigan's defensive coordinator did the same thing against the TCU, and I was scratching my head thinking, go to zone. But it almost seemed like Michigan didn't have any zone packages last year. This year they do. And one crazy stat is that Michigan's defense has given up five touchdowns. They've scored four of their own now. Because they throw in that zone, like, zone flat defense, and they just catch, like, this intercept, like, out patterns now. And so, like, that's going to be a headache for Ryan Day, dink and dunk day, you know? Where he's like, oh, Marvin Harrison, Penn State will never expect him to run a shallow dig. And guess what? They didn't. And I was like, are you serious? So if Michigan shifts into some kind of zone like that, because their defensive lineman, he almost had another interception last week. I think they could have had five defensive touchdowns if the guy wouldn't have dropped the ball when he dropped back. And he had already had one interception. I don't think he ran it for a touchdown, though, because he's like 300-something pounds. It's that Grant guy. I told you, he's so good, and he's so big. It's like Ndamukong Suh. But because he doesn't play all the time, of course, he doesn't have the stats. I think he just has the one interception. So if he would have got two and returned one for a touchdown, then maybe he could have his own Heisman campaign. That'd be funny. We've never seen a defensive lineman win it. Now I think it's like, what, Harrison is in it. He doesn't even have as much touchdowns as what Michigan's wide receiver does. Roman Wilson. I think Roman Wilson has like 10 or something already. So I think he's tied for first. I don't know how many Harrison has, maybe 7. I can't remember what they said in the game. But him, Caleb Williams is probably out. Leonard, he got hurt again. Drake May lost to Virginia. And then Penix Jr. had like, what, 3 interceptions or something? So I'm not sure who else has a chance for the Heisman. But the rankings come out next week. Where do you think Florida State's going to land?
What's that?
The first rankings come out next week. Where do you think Florida State's going to land?
I mean, they've been flirting on the bubble of getting kicked out. So, I mean, I can see them being pushed out into the 5-6 range, or I can see them maintaining. I mean, I think a lot of it's going to hinge on they can't lollygag around with Wake Forest. They got to just put the boots to them and end it.
Well, that's the thing, because the college football ranking is supposed to use actual data points where you look at top 25 wins, not the AP wins, mind you. They're talking about what their rankings show. So if you're looking at that and it kind of mirrors what the regular poll has right now, I don't even know if Michigan has anyone on there. So that's where I think if they're just using data. Now, they also look at margin of victory, which, like I said, no one has played Michigan close. So I'm going to say that they're going to put Michigan around 3. I think they'll have Florida State at 2. And I have a feeling they're going to put Ohio State at 1. I think Washington will be... Washington's the wild card. I think that either... maybe they will be 2. And Florida State could be 3. I don't know, but I have a feeling that with Ohio State's win over Penn State and Notre Dame, that Ohio State's going to be number 1.
Well, I could see them putting Florida State at 4 and trying to reconfigure that 2-3 or 1-4 so that it's Michigan, Ohio State in the playoffs for the rematch.
Well, see, I think right now this one doesn't matter, but I think like going into it, right now Florida State should be 2. Because they have LSU and Duke. Georgia has, like, what, nobody? I mean, right. and that's going in. Michigan has nobody, too. But Georgia's played a couple of close games. So I think if they're looking at it, Michigan should be ahead of Georgia. Heck, Michigan's, the way they've been beating teams, every week we get more AP poll votes and coaches poll votes. AP, we're up to 19 first place votes. If we kill Purdue... and Georgia struggles with, like, Florida. I think they play Florida this week. Florida's not ranked, I don't think. So a lot of people are saying that if they beat Florida, they'll be number 1. But I really don't see it because you're not supposed to look at last year with the actual college football rankings. It's looking at your schedule. And right now, there are 6 undefeated teams. Oklahoma's another wild card. But like I said, they just struggle with UCF. And that Texas win, neutral site, they could say that that's more of like a fluke. Ohio State won on the road against Notre Dame. Florida State won theirs neutral site. That's why I think they're probably going to have Ohio State 1, Florida State 2, maybe Michigan 3 or Washington 3. I'm not really sold on the Oklahoma thing. So I think probably Georgia would be like the 5. Or maybe Washington. I don't know. I think Oklahoma's probably going to stay 6. I wouldn't be shocked if they moved them up, but I think it's going to kind of be like how they have the poll right now, where Oklahoma 6 and Texas is 7. And then Oregon or Alabama will probably be the top 1 loss team.
Now, after Texas. Do you see Georgia losing to Florida?
I don't. I will. Let's be honest. What Florida team shows up? Because there was that one game where Florida looked really good. Was that Utah?
Not throwing shoes around or...
yeah, not doing like the other crap that they do. And so like, No, they beat Florida this year. Who did Florida look good against? Because Florida got ranked there because they, oh, they beat Tennessee bad. Well, I guess it didn't turn out too bad. It was 29-16. But then they lost to Kentucky by like two scores. And I think, did Georgia play Kentucky yet? I thought they did, but maybe they didn't. Because I think Georgia's schedule is pretty much over. Yeah, they killed Kentucky. So like that's the one where I think like if the Florida that played Kentucky comes out, Georgia's going to stomp them. And it will be bad. Now, Kentucky's no longer ranked. Now, if the committee ranks them, then that would give Georgia ranked. And maybe they have Michigan at six. I would actually think that would be better for me. Because if Michigan's ranked super low, then maybe that will motivate the team even more, right? To just focus on killing Penn State. And then if they kill Penn State on the road, because that's still the thing. I'm still worried about a three-way Big Ten tie. Everyone in the Big 12 is scared that if Oklahoma drops one or two these last 5 weeks, or Texas does drops another one, that they could have a two-loss champ and they'll be out. Same with the Pac-12. Washington looks so bad now that if they end up dropping one or two, because they have to play three ranked teams in a row, just like well, I guess Maryland's not going to probably be ranked, but for Michigan, it's kind of the same, where they play USC, Utah, and then Oregon State, and then Washington State, their rival, to close the year. So if Washington goes undefeated, that's why I think Washington will be in. I don't know what they would do for the rankings. I'm still worried that the ESPN predictor has both Michigan and Ohio State making the playoffs. Did you see that? I tried to find it before the show and send it to you, but their playoff predictor is that it's going to be Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan. And then right now they had Washington at like 40-something percent. They had Florida State, I think, at like 17. And then they had Oklahoma and Texas, I think, at like 30-something. So they think it will be the Pac-12 if it's undefeated Washington, which makes sense. But their prediction thinks that they're all going to have one loss. So they think that you guys are going to lose one, Washington will lose one, Oklahoma will lose one, or Texas will beat them. And so it'll be Ohio State being the highest one-loss team. They will be the third seed and play Michigan again in a rematch. Georgia will then play whichever one-loss team gets in then. Which would kind of suck for the last year if Ohio State gets to back in, complain, have the NCAA do an investigation into Michigan, and then they still get another chance at them, right? Like that, I feel like the other conferences would have to start to get pissed off a little bit.
I mean, I think Ohio State just has such a cheat code in Marvin Harrison that I don't know of how many teams that are going to be able to stop him.
But Indiana did. They played Indiana and Maryland tight for the longest time. I don't even think Indiana, like, what did they even score in Indiana? They scored 23 on them. And so, like, that game was tight. The Notre Dame game was tight. And Notre Dame doesn't probably have the horses to win a natty. And then they killed Purdue, which makes me think that game was at Purdue. We will have to see. This week will be big for them because they go to Wisconsin, right? They have all this stuff. They just beat Penn State. Wisconsin has their former coach, so if anyone knows their signals, it's going to be him, right? It's not like these teams change their signals up either, right? Because you mentioned it, like the Auburn hires a guy from Florida State. He comes in and knows the signals. Ohio State hired Michigan's defensive coordinator, their old one, the D-line coach that got demoted. And you don't think that he took the signals with them when they scored like 60 points on Don Brown's defense? Yeah, he probably did. That's probably why they're so upset, Matt. Is because then Michigan changed everything up. They cleaned house, got rid of Don Brown. And then since they did that, they've been stomping Ohio State. And so Ohio State doesn't know what to do. And they're like, cheating. Pointing the finger. Because I'm wondering now with this investigation too, that if we do lose to Ohio State, if the shoe's on the other foot and we're one lost team, we're not backing into the playoff. There's no way they're going to put us in. They'll say like, oh, some other bullshit. But you're right. if Ohio State does, they'll be like, well, we can't have Marvin Harrison Jr. out of the playoffs. We have to put him in. Like, sorry, other conferences. Pac-12, you don't even exist anymore, so we don't care about your feelings. Florida State, you guys get Georgia. That's what might happen. Although, you guys will 100% be jumped by Texas if they are one loss. Because in all honesty, if it's one loss Texas, one loss Ohio State, one loss Florida State, Ohio State should be the odd man out. There's no doubt. I don't care what schedule they have. They don't have the conference championship. And the ranked team wins will pretty much be the same, like two or three. Like Notre Dame's not that much more of a better win than LSU at a neutral site. Heck, who knows? LSU might even make the championship again. All they have to do is beat Bama. When's that game, though? Because that game has to be coming up.
Yeah.
That game is all the same the following week, November 4th, the same week that Michigan plays Auburn. Or not Auburn. Michigan plays Purdue. I was looking at Bama's schedule. They play Auburn the final week like always. So LSU has to play Bama, Florida, and A&M. And if they beat Bama, they get the tiebreaker. They lost to Ole Miss, so they could also have a three-way tie. Would that make Ole Miss go? I think that would be the funniest timeline. Ole Miss has... Oh, shit. They're out. They have to play at Georgia.
Yep.
Dang, I was thinking that they had a crossover with South Carolina, but no, they don't. Oh, never mind. We won't get the three-way tie. Although, wouldn't it be funny if they got a three-way tie and then they beat Georgia twice in the same year? Made the playoffs? Because they could make the playoffs. They only have one loss. Missouri would be the other team. Because, like, well, get this. I guess they wouldn't even have to beat them. Oh, no, they would, because Missouri has a conference loss already to LSU. Well, I guess if Ole Miss beats Georgia and Missouri beats Georgia, that means that Missouri would go to the SEC championship game. And Ole Miss would probably go. And we would have a Missouri-Ole Miss championship. The likeliness of that happening, 0%. That'll never happen. But that would be funny. Tennessee could... I think if it was Tennessee instead of Missouri that was in the position, maybe. But Tennessee just didn't have it this year.
Well, see, you're just creating the stars aligning. Because the last time Mizzou played for the SEC championship, wasn't it during that 13th season when they played Auburn?
Yeah, it was like two weird teams.
Because everyone was all pissed off that they're like, oh, the SEC champion, they didn't even have to play anyone. They had a weak Auburn team. It wasn't even a competitive matchup.
And that's what was it? Missouri won two East titles in a row, I think. That was back when they were good. They left the Big 12, and that's what got Texas salivating. They said, dang, we need to get in the SEC East. And everyone's like, it doesn't make sense for you guys to be in the East. And they're like, we still want to be there. And now that Georgia got good, they're like, nah, we're good in the West. Actually, are they even doing divisions? I don't know. That's what also throws me off for some of these predictions. Because they got rid of divisions. And now I don't know, like the Pac-12, I'm confused about a tiebreaker in the Big Ten East. A tiebreaker for the ACC, I was joking with you, is insane. Because, like, who's Florida State going to play now? That's what hurts Florida State, is that the ACC, every other conference can look like ass. But the ACC, for whatever reason, everyone's like, oh, yeah, they're extra ass. Like, there's no way their champ is worth anything. They're garbage.
But it's always been that way.
Now, when Clemson was good... Well, you guys kind of fell off, but...
No, it was the same deal. Because even, like through their national championship year, it was still just like, no, they're not that good. And, like, it cracks me up because even with all these more recent wins, they're like, oh, the Georgia team, that's definitely the best team. It's like, no, not even close.
Well, to be fair, if Leonard didn't get hurt, and Florida State actually finished that battle. Because when Leonard was in, Florida State was losing the entire game. when he got hurt, the game was over. And so I think everyone saw that and was like, eh. They didn't like actually win a battle-tested game other than Boston College. And you know, LSU wasn't prepared to start the year for whatever reason. I'm surprised that everyone's so hyped on their offense because their offense couldn't do anything against Florida State. So that's why I have no hope on LSU doing anything. But I think if Duke, they just unfortunately got their NFL-style quarterback hurt. Nothing Florida State could do. And like, why is Pitt beating Louisville? Why is North Carolina losing to Virginia? It's almost like every other team in the ACC could be in the Big Ten West of, hey, let's just suck together. And then
but that's always been one of the knocks with the ACC. And I feel like there was like oddball teams that at random points would just lose for no reason. And I feel like they get penalized for that more than others. But I feel like that has been one of the strengths of the ACC over the years, is that you are seeing competitive games. It's just for whatever reason, everyone plays so random that like from week to week, you randomly lose a game for no reason whatsoever.
Now, well, I'm going to tell you the real team to blame is Miami. Because Miami was supposed to be what Penn State is to the Big Ten. They come in as an outsider. Penn State had just come off two national championships in the 80s. Miami had just come off their run in the 90s and like early 2000s. They were supposed to be that third team. Because back in the day, it was like Clemson won a national championship in like 81. And it was Florida State. So you had like the two ACC powers, much like Michigan and Ohio State. Ohio State was like, they couldn't really break through in the 90s. Michigan wins a natty. Then Michigan can't break through, and Ohio State wins a natty early 2000. Michigan goes through a downturn. Penn State is still there to keep the conference respectable. Penn State goes through their weird sanctioned thing. Michigan now comes back. And so now Penn State elevates their game, and you have three teams that can beat each other up. Prop up the rest of the conference because the rest of the conference sucks. There's no depth. Iowa, Wisconsin, maybe. That's almost like what North Carolina is doing right now. But the thing that Florida State lost is Clemson is 4-3. So they're having a down, like they're going through like their Michigan phase right now. They're going down, so that's not going to help Florida State. But where's Miami to prop them up? Miami should be the Penn State. Like they should be the ones where like, hey, they're beating everybody but Florida State or Clemson, right? That's the knock on James Franklin. He's only beat Michigan and Ohio State like a handful of times in his entire like 10 years he's been there. He beat Ohio State once. He's 1-9. But he beats everybody else, so he's like always ranked. Miami starts the season ranked. They don't beat everybody else. They're losing weird games, not taking knees. Like they're like the Nebraska of your conference now.
But they did help because one of their five stars finally just had enough and committed to Florida State. So that's a nice flip.
See, that's why I need to stop throwing stones at Michigan blowing teams out, because we're one of the kings of the transfer portals with you guys. So if they start coming after the transfer portal, you guys are done again. So you better be careful.
We're just going to recruit guys now. Just develop them the old-fashioned way.
No, you don't need to do that. You need some studs. Michigan could always pull some studs. Rashawn Gary, Jabril Peppers, right? And then you develop some other guys like Aiden Hutchinson. And then you bring in transfers for the rest. Let them come in, win. And once you start winning, like if Florida State actually makes the playoffs this year, and you don't even have to win the game. You just have to make the playoffs multiple times. Now Michigan's reaping that benefit, and everyone hates them. No, I just don't understand why the rest of the Big Ten doesn't hate Ohio State for the same thing. Trestle ball for all those years, and then they would get killed in the playoffs or BCS by like Florida and make the Big Ten look like shit. I didn't hear ADs complaining about Ohio State back then. They just don't like Michigan, Matt. We are like the evil empire from like Star Wars, right? The Empire. That's what it is. We could have one Death Star moment, like Blake Corum's knee last year. One injury derails the rest of the season. And you just need Mark Hamill to come through and hit it. That's what the Big Ten's looking to do right now. They need to need to blow the Death Star up before playoffs. Because like I'm pretty sure the Big Ten would rather go 0-for in the playoffs than have Michigan win it. But if Ohio State did it, like other teams would be like, yeah, Big Ten. But for whatever reason, like I don't think the SEC has a team like that that everyone hates together. Maybe Tennessee, right? I don't know. NFL stuff. I was kind of annoyed that the Rams cut Mayer, their kicker. I think that's how you say his name. He was third in fantasy points, dude. He only missed like three kicks all year. And they were like, well, you missed him against the Steelers. You're done. So now what am I supposed to do? I picked him up on the wire because he was one of the hottest kickers. I thought this would be great. And is he super old? I have no idea. I'd have no idea about the guy. But like the Rams scapegoating a kicker, week, whatever this is, I was kind of disappointed. I didn't get to watch a lot of NFL. That's why I was traveling. I wasn't just a long joke at the beginning of the show. So we had to pre-record the show. And then like the Eagles come in, they come back against the Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins were winning at some point. It was hard to keep track. But the NFL right now, it seems like there's no other top teams distancing themselves. And it looks like it could just be a Chiefs-Eagles rematch. And I don't know if that's what the world wants. I'm not really tired of the Chiefs. And I really don't dislike Mahomes either. It's kind of just like, eh, they don't have the flash. Tyreek Hill has the flash with the Dolphins, where he's like so fast that he can just get open and it's fun to watch them. The Chiefs, they're not really fun to watch anymore. It's kind of like the old Tom Brady teams. Maybe that's why people do hate him. Where Tom Brady had like no one on his team and they were still winning in the playoffs. I mean, I know Mahomes has like Kelce in them, but like, I just don't think they have the horses this year to win at all. Maybe it's the time for the Eagles. And as a native Pennsylvanian, I don't want to see the Eagles win anything, Matt. Do you?
No, I'd rather not.
Well, for since we're at the end of the show, people probably have stopped listening once I started. Actually, I don't even know if I was defending Michigan. I just wish that the NCAA would stop targeting, clearly going after Harbaugh for no reason. And it's like, hey, he's a big cash cow for you guys. And I know the NCAA doesn't see that money, but the Big Ten sees it. They have to know that Michigan's getting picked for like all these random primetime games. They don't want to see your other sorry teams. They don't. He's making you money. Why are you going after him? Like, it's insane. I just don't get it. So it's like, hey, we have a guy. He's doing really well. He has a bunch of ideas to make us competitive in the national scheme with like satellite camps because we're in the north and a lot of talents in the south. Instead of backing him up, let's call him out as like a hypocrite and make fun of him and have the NCAA get rid of that rule. So now all the Big Ten teams suck other than Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. Classic move, guys. Classic. The only thing that's saving the conference right now is all the teams in the West. But I didn't get to watch that many games. What was I even saying? Get all fired up. But I know what I was going to say. So I was at Disney and, no, like normally I try to keep a temperature on like what teams I see around because that's like a pure tourist trap, right? I really didn't see too many Florida or Florida State shirts, which was surprising because that's which country you're supposed to be in, right? I did see a couple of UCF shirts, which surprised me, and I wonder if they're going to start popping up more now that they're in the Big 12. But I was joking with the family because I was like, look, Michigan has no shirts because it's scandal. Like, no one's wearing Michigan shirts. We kill Michigan State on Friday, Saturday night, Matt. Sunday, Michigan was popping. We were everywhere. It was like, holy crap, everyone here has Michigan shirts on. Everyone had hats on, getting a ton of Go Blues. It was crazy. The other school that I saw the most other than Michigan would have been Notre Dame. because there were a lot of like old timers wearing Notre Dame hats, and it just disgusted me. I thought, you guys couldn't beat Ohio State? No one said anything to me because they were like, well, Michigan's so good. Where last time, like, people would come up and yell at me. I only saw like two or three Ohio State shirts because they must be afraid of this year. They know Ryan Day's worried, so they know they can't be out in public around with all those Michigan fans celebrating over Sparty. But the one thing that did really stand out is all the Eagles fans now, Matt. You know how many times I heard people would like do the Eagles cheer?
Oh, I thought you were going to say how many people were doing the tush push to try to get on the line.
No, it was like the go fly Eagles fly thing. Like, it's like, where are you guys all coming from? I don't understand it. Cause like, I've never really seen Eagles fan shirts. Like, you see a good mix of like Cowboys. I did see a bunch of Packers, Steelers, like, you know, like the more national teams, Raiders, but I don't remember last time I went seeing a lot of Eagles fans, but they were everywhere. They were easily the number one jersey in the NFL. Like, there were some, maybe Chiefs. Like, I think the groups that I've mentioned, Niners, Chiefs, Raiders, Packers, Steelers, Cowboys, they were all like a secondary, maybe like a handful of them that I've seen. But like on NFL Sunday, other than Michigan jerseys everywhere and shirts, it was Eagles. It was like a weird mix of Michigan and Eagles come out on Sunday. And I thought, I don't want to see these Eagles guys. We're really messing up our Michigan celebration over Sparty here. But that's all I have to talk about. You have anything else you want to talk about on the show?
No.
I don't even know if we hit an hour because I don't know how long the pre-show was. But I really didn't get to watch a lot of football. We'll see what happens. I think Michigan's getting meeting with the NCAA on Thursday. They're on a bye week anyway. So Harbaugh's already suspended 3 games. I wonder if they can lump it in. Because sometimes they might just lump them together, right? And then it would be back to business like normal. And then I could see some fans getting really upset about that. But just fix the rules. You watch high schools on ESPN3 that have those tablets, iPads, or Microsoft Surface, whatever, on the sideline, and they all have headsets on. There's no reason you can't do that in the NCAA. And the funny thing is, Matt, one of the solutions that was put forward, it was like an anonymous AD, was like, there was a couple of ADs that spoke out in defense of Michigan and said, like, we should have already fixed this years ago, because like they were saying that they tried to push it through the NCAA and the NCAA, it was voted down. But they said that it was funny because the same proposal passed for college baseball. So there's supposed to be a system, I don't know what the hell it was called, but it was something that the pitcher and the catcher and the coach can use that they talk on in their mitt or something. I don't know what the hell it is. But that is allowed in college baseball now. But for football, they're like, no way. Because the baseball system doesn't mess with the helmet warranty. You might know more about this. But they said that one of the first proposal like a few years ago was shut down because adding mics directly into the helmet itself voided the helmet warranty, which I get. A lot of lawsuits about helmets coming out. You don't want to do that. But the same baseball system that they said is fair and available for use, they could put in the earpiece or something of the helmet, because they have a football option for high schools that does not void the warranty of the helmet. So that's not even an excuse anymore. They just don't want to do it. So, stupid. Yeah, I think they're turning around or will weigh a lot of fans. The NFL, I don't know if they're really getting them back. I haven't looked at TV numbers, but we'll check on that next week. If there's anything you want to hear from us, let us know. I think I mentioned about updating the site. I'm going to try to do some things to make it a little bit more streamlined and make sure that all the downloads are working, but I haven't had time to work on that, so that might be a next month thing. So let me know what you want to hear. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.